Listen, I know one of the things that we wanted to do was first say hi to all the kids watching. I know that there are kids watching right now. What is up, you guys? You know that we love you. We're so excited you're here. And we thought we'd play a game with you before we dive into like the meat of the show. So kids, we want you to stand up wherever you are.
Ooh.
So if you're in your living room, in your bedroom, hopefully you're watching this with your parents, because here's the thing. We're going to ask you a few trivia questions. And if you get them right, your parents have to do a push-up for every answer that you get right.
One push-up.
One push-up.
Come on, parents.
Come on. Yeah. Here we go. First question. What is my favorite color?
Ooh.
Is it A, yellow, B, pink, or C, blue?
So are they answering this in the...
Nope, they don't have to answer it. We're going to announce the answer here in about 2 seconds. But here are your choices again.
Gotcha.
Yellow, pink, or blue?
Blue, yeah.
Eddie, do you know the answer? Because if you don't, you got to do a push-up.
I'm going to take a wild guess. And I'm going to just shoot from the hip here and say yellow.
Yellow is correct. Yes. And kids, if you said yellow, your parents have to do a push-up. All right. Question number two, Eddie. Go ahead and shoot.
What is my favorite color? A, yellow. B,
I don't know if
pink.
I know the answer to this.
C, yellow.
You already said yellow.
Oh, yeah. Yellow is A. B, pink. C, blue. D, none of the above.
Wow.
Yeah, throwing a trick question in there.
Do you like it when your teachers do that? Because I don't. Well, this is a teacher right here. The none of the above, A and C only. You know. All right. Eddie, go ahead and say the answer.
The answer is blue.
Yes. Okay, that's what I was going to say. Okay, kids, if you guess blue, then your parents have to do another push-up. All right, question number three. Here we go. And this is for the kiddos. What is the distance in miles for the marathon? Is it A, 28.2 miles, B, 26.2 miles, or C, 25.1 miles? Okay, I'm going to say them again. 28.2, 26.2, or 25.1? Think about it. Think about it. Eddie, do you want to go ahead and give that answer?
I'm still thinking.
Hopefully the kids have gotten the answer.
I'm still thinking. Hold on.
We got kids answering in the chat right now. I love it.
I'm going to say it is 28.1.
Now, Eddie just ran a marathon 2 weeks ago, and I think he's saying it's 28.1 because that's how many miles it was back to our car. The answer, kids, is 26.2. And if you got that right, your parents got to drop and do another push-up. Eddie, give them your last
question.
What is the last question? Clearly, okay. Eddie was not prepared.
Oh man. Let's see.
What is something from the podcast that the kids would remember?
A story. I don't, you know what? Let's keep it simple.
Okay. What are our kids' names?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we going to do
both of them? Yeah.
Say two.
Okay. So we have a son and a daughter. And are their names McKenna and Jacob, Isaiah and Mackenzie, or
Ishmael?
Ishmael.
Or?
And? Joanna.
That's her name.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the answers we just gave?
No.
I knew it.
I have no clue. I would get this wrong.
Kids, if you chose Isaiah and Mackenzie, you are correct, and your parents got to drop and give another push-up. And that concludes our kids' quiz. Kids, we love you. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We don't expect you to stay and be entertained for the entire show, but if you do, we love having you. But thanks for being here. Now, I'm looking at these comments in here right now, and I'm dying. I don't know how I'm going to be able to get to all the questions because there are already a lot of people in the chat room. And I love this. I love seeing everyone that has joined tonight. I'll tell you what, this is going to be, if you're just now joining us, this episode is going to stay on our channel. And yes, this will be something that you can listen to again. Through your earbud. So if, even if you can't stay for the whole thing, know that you can come back and watch this later. You can come back and listen to it again. But one of the things that we want to open up the chat room to is questions. Now we have a couple special guests tonight that we're going to bring on to our show. But before we do that, I know Eddie wanted to, as we always do, go ahead and just read a couple of our reviews, give a shout out to the community.
Yes, like I always do, want to just highlight some Chew Strong love that people give us. And this one was actually the most recent Apple Podcast review. It's titled Running, Car Rides, and Now Disc Golf. It says, "Hi, Eddie and Sal." This is from Caleb Luigi. "Hi, Sal and Eddie. I love taking you on all my long runs. My wife and I love listening to you on our road trips. And now you went disc golfing with me. I love playing disc golf to be outside, clear my head, and have some fun. Today, I decided to bring you two along with me. You should try it, Eddie. It's a slightly different, quicker, and most importantly, cheaper little brother to ball golf, and I think you might like it. My wife and I love listening to y'all. We're currently in the middle of a move to get closer to family. Job changes, a career change for me, and my wife is pregnant with our second child. Through life's up and downs, we lean on our faith and our family. Bringing your podcast along with us helps us remember to choose strong in all that we do. Thanks for being rad, Caleb and Jenna."
Heck yeah. Thank you, Caleb and Jenna. We really appreciate those reviews. They mean a lot to us. And I just know that usually once or twice a week, Eddie and I sit down and we read all the reviews. We hop into the Facebook Choose Strong community page, and we like to see what everyone is doing. We look at you guys training. We look at the encouragement and the stories that you guys are sharing. And so thank you so much for everything that you submit. It means a lot to us.
Yeah. And Caleb, about the disc golf. Yes, I have tried it. Isaiah and I have played it. And it's a blast. Isaiah really got into it. Remember a couple summers ago, he got a bunch of discs and he got a bag for it. And
well, especially during, it was in 2020.
Yeah.
They had that big park that he'd get outside.
Yeah. So it is a fun game. I'm not too good at it, but it is fun to get out there and throw that.
I want to give a shout really quick before Garrison Rosie goes to bed. Best of luck, Garrison, at the Boston Marathon tomorrow. I know you're watching from Boston right now, and I know you got to get your sleep. Thank you for tuning in. The whole community is cheering for you tomorrow. And anyone else that is watching right now from Boston and is running in the morning, we are so stoked for you. In fact, Eddie, you and I were talking earlier today about my first Boston Marathon. And do you remember I got dropped off to go to the shuttle pretty early? Well, it was somewhat early, Mark, because this is back when the race used to start like at noon.
Yeah.
And you stayed in the same spot for a solid 7 hours in front of this bagel shop.
That's
right. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
You didn't want to lose your spot. That was 20 years ago when I...
It was 2004.
It was 2004.
Yeah, 20 years ago on the dot.
It was 2004 when I ran the Boston Marathon. It was my third ever marathon. And... yeah, we have so many great memories.
Yeah,
we lived in Washington, D.C. at the time. We drove up in our little, what was like a Ford Escort from Washington, D.C. to Boston. We made the trip.
No, it was a Hyundai Sonata.
Hyundai Sonata.
There you go.
And I'll tell you what, that was both our first time to Boston.
Yeah.
And we fell in love with it.
Yep.
Still is one of my favorite cities in the world. I mean, it is the coolest. And I think probably because the first time I went was experiencing Boston Marathon, and it's such a spirited event. I mean, the whole town, the whole city shuts down for it. And just the support from everyone is really like nothing else. So we get excited every single year that the race comes around. We know a lot of people in the community are heading out there, whether it's to race, spectate, be a part of the event in some way. We are so excited for you and we really appreciate you tuning in tonight. We can't wait to hear how it goes. We'll be checking that Facebook page and of course our Instagram, hoping to hear from you and how your journey was.
Yeah. So good luck, Garrison, and all the others that are running, man. That's exciting. All right. So the next one I have here was the second to most recent on podcasts or on the Apple Podcast. It says, you can't go wrong when you choose strong. It says, excellent information for anyone just getting started, seasoned athletes, and anyone looking for developing strength, physical, mental, and or emotional to endure hard things. If you're looking for easy on the couch, eating cheesy cheesy puffs when you watch South, then go watch South Park. If you want to sharpen your mind, strengthen your resilience, and set on a journey to do hard things, then choose strong. I'm a nurse living in the Inland Empire who completed my first triathlon in October in San Dimas. One of my patients recommended two things to help me start my training: buy some Hoka running shoes and then listen to Sally McRae's podcast. Aww. Great advice on both accounts. Thank you, Sally. Maybe one day I'll see you out at an event. First things first, I'm going to go after that Ironman. Maybe then I'll go after the ultras. Lean forward far enough and then your feet will move to keep you from falling on your face. Keep leaning forward. An addendum: double shot espresso with a scoop of coconut oil and heavy whipping cream.
Let's go. Ooh. Let's go. I have to give a shout out right now. What was her name?
Seymour.
Thank you so much.
313.
And what an honor to know that you were guided to our podcast as a way to start your journey in running. And I'm sure that you have learned as you've listened. Our podcast is really using running as a parallel for your life. So we hope that you are encouraged in your everyday life and in your running, and we are rooting for you. I have to give a big shout out right now to Stephanie Ward and her kids. What is up, Ward kids? She just said in the chat room, oh my gosh, my kids came running in the room and said, is that Sally from the radio in your car? Yes, it is us. And kids, we're so happy that you tune in with your mama and listen to us. And we love the kiddos. And we want to remind you that you are so strong. You get to choose that every single day. So thanks for being here.
All right. So that was, I just had two today. So I'm just going to keep it short. And that last one shared their coffee order. And I do want to just mention that the coffee orders were pretty insane.
You know what? They were
pretty awesome.
We have over 500 responses on that post that you did. As people know, and you're actually not wearing, you're wearing a Hurley hat.
Yeah, like, what? That's right. Yeah. Sorry.
We're not even wearing the hat that we're giving away. We have this My hat bad. In black, black and yellow. We are giving away 15 of them. And so we did a post. If you haven't seen it yet, go on our Instagram. You can do that right now. You can go on our Instagram, either mine or the Choose Strong podcast IG. And I think it's what's the post? It's a million.
Yeah, it says 1 million on it.
Yeah, it says 1 million on it. Anyway, we said tag a friend and then tell us what your coffee order is. So I do have to say, if you don't drink coffee, that is okay.
Yeah.
You can still enter.
Tea. We saw some tea orders.
Tea, and matcha.
Matcha.
Someone was just straight up water.
Yeah. So I got to drink coffee.
And that is okay. So we will be giving away 15 black hats. But also the yellow hat and the black hat, the pre-order link will go live. I think it's the end of this upcoming week. So be on the lookout on our Instagrams again for that link. Again, it is a pre-order, but there's only like a select amount in there. So black and yellow hat. And then we're also doing the Pass Gap and Berry shirt. Now, there is a greater meaning in the Pass Gap and Berry. If you watch the Cocodona 250 film, which is on my YouTube channel, there is a part in that movie where I am running with my pacer, Summer. And wouldn't you know, in that very moment, we're on the road on our way to a trail section, and Drew and Tyler, our filmmakers and cameramen, drove up next to us. And it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And in that moment, I was telling Summer about this strategy that I often use in racing. It really is personal, though. It has nothing to do with who is around me, but it is a way to refocus and to really get yourself fired up, to really start believing in yourself and give you something to focus on, even if you're not feeling great about yourself. Now, I'll tell you what, the reason why I did it at this point in this race, this past Gap and Barry, was because I was in a lot of physical discomfort. And so I told Summer, she had said, hey, the fourth place female is ahead of us. And, you know, I was feeling so down on myself. I was so uncomfortable. I thought, you know what? I actually have the power to change my mind right now, to change my focus. I have the opportunity to change my energy and do something different. I can stay in this sloggy pace and just be upset, or I can change things up. And so this is where Pass, Gap, and Barry came from. Pass, so we worked really hard to pass the next runner. And then it was immediately gap the runner, so create space, and then Barry, create a massive amount of space, like go above and beyond. Don't even look behind. Don't even think what's behind you. And so what I do is I do kind of like a fartlek style workout. And so you kind of pick up pace, you pass the next runner, and then you do another effort. So you could push hard for like 30 seconds or 2 minutes, and then you recover. So you slow down. In this case, we did hard running and then fast walking, hard running, fast walking. And we did that for almost an hour, and we moved in to fourth place. Now, at that time, what was so good for me was that I just refocused on what I was doing. I was refocusing on getting to the finish line. I was refocusing and remembering all that hard training that I had put in and really believing in what I was capable of. So it wasn't necessarily about who the person was in front of me. It was really about getting myself to refocus and believe in what was ahead of me. So I did a post on my Instagram. I encourage you to go and read it. There's a little poem that I wrote about it that really relates to life, because it's so easy when we're having hard days or we're in a hard season that we sit in that we just think, well, this is just how it is and this is just how I'm going to be. When really we can't change what happened yesterday. We can't change what has already been done, but we can pass that by. We can move past that. And then this idea of gapping it. Well, now I'm going to step ahead and I'm just going to move far beyond that. And then the Barry part is really just reaching for hope and knowing that I don't have to stay there. I get to move forward. And so the shirt is this like really fiery shoe. It's a shoe. He's got teeth and everything. So it's a really fun, competitive twist. But the true and deeper meaning in all of it is what we are all capable of. We are capable of rising above and moving beyond our losses, our failures, our setbacks, mistakes that we've made, and pressing forward the prize. So I'm super excited to release that shirt, the yellow and black hat again, and just, yeah, kind of inject a good message into the community. But it's also a fun, competitive, playful phrase too. I can't tell you, Eddie, how many people have messaged in and say that they use that all the time in training and in racing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's been pretty cool. It's a cool saying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the application is pretty awesome too, not just with the running part, but yeah, it's going to be a cool shirt. I'm liking it.
Yeah. Yeah. We had someone wrote in yesterday. It was actually really funny. She said her and her training partner used it, that mindset, the Pass, Gap, and Barry while they're out trading on some like runner that was in front of them on the trails. They're like, this guy's probably just out for like a nice Sunday jog. And we buried him. We passed him. We gapped him and buried him. And I was like, yes, it's so good. But I have to acknowledge too, all the people that have used it and have gotten PRs in a race or made it onto the podium because they just have something to think about. And I think in the podcast we had shared about Mackenzie using it in a race, yeah, which was like the most touching thing for me. She had been passed on the track. And then she said, Mom, I remembered the pass gap and Barry, and she thought the race isn't over. I'm going to go chase her down. And she did. She chased this girl down and she won. It was super exciting.
Yeah. Caitlin actually in the chat just said, I used pass gap and Barry at my last race and I ended up fourth. I never thought I would ever be close to a awesome podium. Mind blown.
I love That's it. Awesome. I absolutely love it. Pausing here real quick to tell you about the sunglasses that are on my face. Gooder. You've probably heard me talk about Gooder before. You've probably seen me wearing these sunglasses, maybe because I've been wearing them for almost 10 years. I love these. They're $25. They're stylish. They're fun. I especially like the giant oversized ones. I wear those a lot in the 200-mile races because they completely cover my face, but they just look cool too. And I'll tell you what, when anything, especially sunglasses, are $25 and they break or I lose them or my kids steal them, you know, I feel a lot better about it. $25, I can do. So that's another reason why I like them and why I thought I'd push them out to you, my incredible Choose Strong community. Gooder has decided to give you guys free shipping on your first order. So if you go to gooder.com/Sally and then use code Sally, you're going to get free shipping. Check out their styles. They always have these really fun names that go along with them. It's 100% satisfaction guarantee. They even have a year warranty and they offer a 30-day money back guarantee. So really, really cool. It's a win-win situation. You can find your pair at gooder.com/Sally and use code Sally to get free shipping. Yesterday, Eddie, you and I, we get messages from people all over the world. And I sometimes forget that, I mean, I don't think about it ever when we're talking, but we have an accent. And whether it's a Californian accent or just an American accent, there are people that listen to us and sometimes don't understand what we're saying, mm-hmm, or don't understand the pronunciation. Or maybe what certain things mean that don't translate in their country. And we had someone write in. I had to send it to you to read because we both were laughing so hard at this. It was so good. This is from Jen. What's her handle?
Oh, sorry.
Jen Rose Arun. I don't even know
Jen
if that's
Rosa.
Her.
Jen Rosa Run.
Okay, Jen Rosa Run. This is Jen Rosa Run. I hope that she's tuning in right now, or at some point we'll listen to this because you made our day.
Yes. So if you have listened to the last episode, this would make sense to you. But she said, this was such a good listen, but because of the accent, it took me ages to get that the eagle and beagle were in fact eagle and beagle all made so much more sense then. Gave me some funny images during my run when Eddie was ignoring his eagle to focus on his beagle. So that was, once we read that, that made a ton of sense.
We were laughing so hard. So basically eagles and beagles were what this girl was thinking the whole time she's listening to the podcast. When we're talking about a goal
and beagle
and your B goal.
It's pretty good.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That was so so good.
That was funny.
We have a question. Oh, did Scheffler pass Gap and Barry?
Oh, yes, Scheffler did.
No,
Scheffler, you're right.
The Masters have been on every single day this past week. I love watching the Masters. I was not a golf fan until I met Eddie. We'll talk about that later. But the Masters is something that you were looking forward to this entire week.
Yes.
Eddie gave me updates every single day as to how that was going. But did he pass Gap and Barry, Ed?
He definitely did. You know, I'm stoked for Scotty. Scotty Scheffler. You know, I was rooting for that guy. I do like that guy. But yeah, that's one of those weeks of the year I don't get a lot done.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of golf watching. Too much, to be honest.
I'm looking at your sweatshirt because I just saw someone in the chat room ask, are you ever going to do just a yellow Chew Strong sweatshirt? So I think this is a special gift that we'll just tell people that are watching. There's a reason why we don't have any Chew Strong product yet on our site. We have been working very hard to be able to use that on merchandise. So that has been something over a year in the making, but I think it's almost going to happen. So yes, the answer is yes. We don't know when, but those designs will hopefully be rolling out by summertime.
Yes.
So thank you. Thank you so much for the support in that too. We love seeing people wear this stuff. And we had someone from Bend, Oregon who ran a marathon today and said they were thinking of
the Bend marathon was this weekend.
Yeah. They were thinking yesterday of the Chew Strong family. And yes, you are part of the family. I think this is one of my favorite things about the hat and why I'm so happy the hat's going to go on sale again. Cause we are hearing stories of people who are starting to see the hat at every race they go to. And then they know that they have a friend there, which is super cool. So yes, if you have a chance, grab a hat, become a part of the Chew Strong community in that way. And know that wherever you go, you have a buddy at any event or on the training, in your training.
Yes.
Okay. So Mercury Honey just wrote in. And this is Joanna. Isn't that who you met yesterday?
Joanna.
The young girl?
Yes, I met Joanna yesterday.
Yeah, Joanna said, I saw Eddie. And Joanna, I'm so sad that I missed you. I must have just missed you. Eddie arrived at OC Champs yesterday. Mackenzie had a race yesterday, which we'll talk about that in a minute. Or we'll let Mackenzie actually touch on that. But Joanna, hello. We know you're a high school runner. And Joanna was so brave to come up and talk to you yesterday, Ed. I thought that was really, really sweet. You guys got a picture together, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, Joanna, it was great to meet you. And yeah, thanks for saying hi. It's always cool to meet high school students that actually listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool.
Super cool. All right. So someone just said more yellow gear. A lot of people are asking for the yellow gear. I passed a yellow hat today on my run in Maryland, and we shared a Choose Strong greeting. I love that.
That's awesome.
Susan, that is so cool. Jennifer Huber is tuning in from Emmaus, Pennsylvania. I think I said that right. And then Giselle Martinez says, I'm going to be listening to you at a nice hilly half marathon this weekend. I love having you guys along for the ride. Thank you so much. I think it's really super cool that you guys bring us along for races. I think I had said this before when I was at the Leadville marathon. I met Leadville 100 this past summer. I was at a lot of the aid stations and people were pointing their ears saying, I'm listening to you right now, which is super cool. I'm going to go ahead and answer some of these.
Yeah, want me to read some?
Yeah, some of these questions. Sylvia Julissa Gomez wants to know if she can participate in the giveaway if you're not on Instagram. You can do that via YouTube, but you can also send us an email as well. You don't have to be on Instagram. So we have just through our website, which is SallyMcCrae.com, there's a little contact form. And so you can always just send us a message that way and you can always participate. So
yeah, you can always just put it on the comments of the YouTube episode too, though. Easier. Oh. All right. You want to do a question, Sal? What do you think?
I do. I just want to give a shout to Megan Stevens right now because her daughter has limited language, but her favorite word is yellow.
Oh, nice.
And when she sees you on Instagram, she gets excited and screams yellow. So a huge shout out to Megan Stevens and your sweet daughter. Hello and big happy yellow hugs to you. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
That's
that
cool.
is super sweet. Should I bring our special guests or?
Let's do a couple questions first. Okay. If you have questions for Sally, the yellow runner, why don't you put them in the chat here and then I will ask a few and then have Sally answer them. Let's see.
I couldn't keep up.
I know, there's some good ones. Well, here's a very general one that they have their first ultra 50K mm-hmm. in 12 days.
Okay.
So 12 days, obviously it's coming up super quick. Yeah, we've already put the training in.
Taper mode is coming.
Yeah. What's a piece of advice for them 12 days out of their ultra 50K?
When they're 12 days out?
Yeah.
Well, I think when you're 12 days out, you are definitely getting close to your taper, if not, if you haven't already started it yet. I like a minimum of a 10-day taper. I think it's a lot better to get to a 50K race feeling, well, any race really, feeling extra recovered, extra rested. The goal is to be on that start line feeling as strong as possible. And so I tend to more hyper-focus on mobility, sleep, eating, making sure the body just feels good and energized. It doesn't mean that you have to stop all movement. I mean, it's still good. It's just all your workouts are a lot shorter. And so usually 12 days out, the hay is in the barn, you've done the work, and now you're ready. Now for race day, I strongly encourage breaking up your race into three parts. So with a 50K, that's pretty easy. You just break it up into 10 mile sections. So the first 10 miles, the second 10 miles, and the third 10 miles. And I always like to use the first third of a race, that first 10 miles. That's going to be where you really ease in to the race. You're going to hyper-focus on your nutrition, on easing into your pace, not redlining and getting all crazy caught up with how fast the pace is going, but really remembering what your goals are and what you want to do. The second 10 miles is where you say, I'm locked in now. I should have a good steady race pace going on. I'm still going to continue to eat. And the last 10 is just where you just let it fly. This is where you are strong, courageous. You're pushing through some discomfort, but there's nothing stopping you getting to that finish line. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. One of the relationships that I am most proud of in my life is the relationship I have with Eddie James McCray. And I'll tell you what, a common misconception about strong relationships is that they have to be easy to be right. You know, sometimes the best relationships happen when both people choose to put in the work to make them great. And I believe therapy can be a great place to work through the challenges you face in all of your relationships, whether with friends, work, your significant other, or anyone. In past experience, I have found that therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma or have major challenges in life. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit betterhelp.com/choosestrong today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/choosestrong. It looks like, Eddie, we
got some special guests.
Mackenzie looks like.
Yeah, I'm going to move over so Mackenzie can move over.
People, we want to introduce you to. Should we switch seats? Should our kids take over these microphones? Is that scary?
No, we can move. Yeah, there we go. It'll be a tight fit.
We want to introduce you guys to our incredible kiddos. We have Mackenzie over here on my left, the viewer's right, Mackenzie McCray. And then Isaiah right here on my right.
What's up?
Can you get in
back here?
Can you get in? Are you good?
Can you see yourself right here?
All right. Yes. We're good. Some questions come in from the audience now that our kiddos are here. This is the first time that people are seeing our kids. And Isaiah, when you talk, make sure you talk right into that microphone.
Okay.
So we've prepared some questions for you, Isaiah.
Oh no.
And Mackenzie. Okay. So first of all, everyone wants to just say how you are, what grade you're in, and what sports you like to play.
I'm 16. I'm a sophomore, and I like to play lacrosse.
Nice. Kins, your turn.
I'm 18 and I'm a senior and I do track and cross country.
Very good. Very good.
Isaiah, you didn't say that you like cross country. You did cross country this year.
I did cross country in the fall last year as like just to like be in shape for lacrosse still.
Yeah.
And I'll probably do next year too.
Yeah. All right, so first question, you guys, who is your favorite parent?
Okay, yeah. That's an easy one, obviously. Kinsey, you can go first. No wrong answers here.
No, we are just kidding. We do have a question here from Michelle Parsons. She says, what's the best advice? Isaiah and Mackenzie, you guys both can answer this. Mackenzie, I'm going to have you go first. But what's the best advice for young athletes just starting to enter the competitive level in their sport? Do you have any advice for kids that are starting to become competitive? And that's not just in running. It could be soccer, football, tennis. Any advice that you guys want to give?
There's going to be kids that are better than you and are at your level. So it's going to be difficult to... Because when you're younger, everyone's kind of like the same still, but you can stand out. I don't know how to explain it. Like, not, you're still learning the sport, but now as you get older into a competitive level, everyone knows what they're doing, and some people are just better on what they're doing, I guess. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's some kids are faster, some kids are bigger, some kids are stronger. But if you can't like master, like if I can't get taller and bigger, I can be smarter on the field. And use my IQ to like outsmart them basically, and like use my other abilities that I've been given to get my best out there on the field. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's awesome advice.
That is good. Ken, you want to add to that?
Yeah.
And also just like to make sure like that you actually like really enjoy it and like still have fun, because like even though like younger like or like sports before like they're competitive, like they're like super fun, but like. Also, like, make sure it's still, like, enjoyable, even when it's competitive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, I think kids grow and develop so differently. And I think we definitely live in a world right now, Ed, I know you could definitely speak on this, too, because we talk about this a lot, where there's so much pressure at younger ages. And if there is, like what Mackenzie said, no enjoyment or enthusiasm, they can burn out young. Mm-hmm. But like what Isaiah was saying, the appreciation for, yeah, you're going to have some kids that are just great at certain things. Or their body looks a little bit different. Focus on what you can do, what you can develop, and have fun doing it. Because it's a long journey, a very long journey of competition. Mackenzie and Isaiah, what are the best thrifting tips? Katie Helfen wants to know.
Kins.
Katie, my best thrifting tips is, depending on what the store is, you got to know when they restock and always get there early.
Nice.
And go for the pants first, because those are like the most valuable, like if you're going to resell, if you're going to wear them too, it's like the best thing to look for, and then go for like sweatshirts and shirts. But yeah, that's my 13 tips.
I would say never sleep on the kids section.
Oh, never
I do,
sleep on the kids
because I'm not
section.
A kid.
Oh, Isaiah might be a little too big for the kids section.
But Mackenzie still fits in some of the kids section.
All right, here's a question for you both. Is your mom the loudest mom on the sidelines?
Yes.
That's an easy answer.
No debate.
Is your mom the loudest mom ever?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, same answer.
She would tell us that people like on college campus would hear her laughing across the campus. Like, oh yeah, here comes Sally.
I can attest to that. Yeah, that is absolutely true. Absolutely true.
Okay, this is true. All right. I'm gonna keep on going here.
I'm gonna jump in real quick again. Mackenzie, when did you realize that you were faster than your mom?
That's understandable.
Well, I mean, I don't, I it's guess just like, I want to say like I'm faster than her. Like, we just do like very different events. So, like, I would never be able
okay,
to like.
Okay, let's put it here. If you were in a mile lined up against mommy, what, like, what was your time? Like, what you're going to beat her, right?
Yes.
Right, okay. All right, moving on.
Asking your mom.
That's a great question.
That is a good question.
It.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Next question is, there's a parent in here that asked something about coaching. There's so many coming in. Okay. Have you, Isaiah McKenzie, have you guys listened to your parents' podcasts?
No.
I have like,
wait, what?
No, I have like a little bit here and there in the car with my dad because he'll put it on to listen to it.
Yeah.
So that's when I hear it.
Like, I've never like just chose to like listen to it, like sit down, like,
wow.
I like, I like the honesty. I like the honesty. All right. What is the best piece of wisdom from each of your parents thus far? So think back through all the various pieces of wisdom that we have given you. What is the
really
one
hard
piece of wisdom so far that you're
do
like,
the work.
Yes, do the work.
No, I don't know.
You want to go for it, Isaiah?
No, Kent, you can go first.
What's a tip or piece of wisdom that you've learned for life or running that has helped you with something?
I don't really know. I don't know.
You don't know? Isaiah, what about you?
Like in sports or just like?
It just doesn't matter. Anything. Yeah. Sports, yeah. Life.
Sports or life.
School.
Friends,
relationships, anything.
I don't know. And that was something you're like, I don't really know. Something you like taught me or like advice.
Yeah. Advice. Yeah.
That like, I don't know,
that
dude.
One, how about you? We'll come back to that one.
Yeah,
guys.
I'm still trying to think.
I think we failed, yeah. Sal. I don't know if we've done a good job of.
you guys, what are the best beaches in SoCal?
Laguna Beach.
Beaches?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Laguna.
Laguna Beach.
Mm-hmm. Laguna has a lot of cool spots and caves and like, I don't know what it's called. They're like pools front, like, that were not like made like man-made pools, but they're like around rocks. I'm like, I don't really know. I forgot what they're called, but.
Okay. And how is it balancing schoolwork, sports, and social life, kids?
It's kind of hard because sports take up a lot of time. And when in high school, when you have a lot of homework, mm-hmm. it can catch up to you. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. But having like a good routine. Having like a good routine definitely helps, and like writing out like to-do lists or just like things you need to do for the day, and like scheduling those things definitely helps.
I think you're good at those to-do lists, Kenz. You have a pretty good morning and night routine. It's like been your go-to, I feel like, for the last like 4 or 5 years, maybe longer actually.
Yeah.
All right, Mackenzie, we have a lot of runners that listen to this podcast, and they are asking, when did you start running?
I started running when I was like 4 years old. I ran for my first race when I was 4 years old. And then I started after that, I started running on the trails with my mom. And then when I was 8 years old, I joined club. So
nice. All right. What's another one?
Here's one from Megan Stevens. Do you feel pressure to be good at sports with your mom being a pro athlete? Mm. I have been told from coaches and from my teammates being don't you run too? Aren't you like really fast because your mom's like a fast runner? I get that a lot. Or like I'll get like egged on from my coach and be like, come on, your mom's a runner, you got this, stuff like that. It's not bad. Like I don't mind it. Like,
what do you say? Do you say yes?
Well, yeah, I'll be like, yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I used to be like the fastest kid.
Used to
be
fast? Yeah.
Yeah. I used to be, yeah.
You're fast.
But like I was saying, like kids, when it comes to a competitive level, kids get faster and better. So you just gotta.
Yeah, you're right. You gotta
work hard and yeah.
And I think we are really, want to make sure that our kids are doing what they love. So that's, that's important. When I was in high school, college, it was all about ball sports for me.
Yeah. Same.
Not running. I love the ball sports. So, I definitely get that. That's what Isaiah loves. He loves the ball sports.
What about you, McKinley? Yeah.
I would say like, not like pressured, but like, I think it's like, I'm like, just like lucky to like have like a mom that's like, that does like the same sport as me, or like, she's just like someone that I like look up to, and just like, she knows like a lot about the sport. So that's definitely like something like super like, just lucky to have. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. Favorite sports teams. Choose two. Favorite sport, doesn't matter what sport. If you have a favorite team, what team, you got two of them. What are the top two teams? Ken's go. What do you think?
I would say NAU track and field.
Ooh.
And distance team.
Okay. So you went college. All right. Isaiah, what about you?
San Jose Sharks and Los Angeles Lakers.
Wow.
Sharks, man. Wow.
Go Sharks.
I love it. All right, who's the better cook, mom or dad?
Mom.
Easily me. Easily dad.
No.
Yes.
You probably make like a good grilled cheese.
I can make a mean grilled cheese.
Why do you always?
A mean quesadilla.
The delectable.
Yeah.
Is what you call it.
I make some good toast. Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the advice. You guys share with the kiddos that are watching. Maybe a mindset piece of advice. I feel like that's probably what I harp on. Not harp, but like, I probably give that to you guys maybe every week. Is there any tip or encouragement that you could give to the kids that I've given to you guys that you want to share? Think of that. And in the meantime, Eddie, someone is saying that since you're going to be running Cocodona 250, do you think that Mackenzie and Isaiah are going to be crewing for you?
I don't even have an answer for that one.
I love that. I did have a race question come in here, so I am going to answer that really quick. I think it was moving up here at the top here. shoot, now I just missed it. There's too many coming in. Next time we'll have a moderator, Ed.
Is it this one?
We'll have a...
Aiming to run the first 100?
Yes, yeah, that one. Andrew.
All right, I'll ask it. You answer it.
Okay.
Andrew says, aiming to run my first 100 miler in mid-August, and while I've ran a half and a full before, how would you recommend going about looking into a coach? Is that a must for the first 100-mile race?
Andrew, great question. It looks like he's jumping straight from a full marathon into 100. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking that you're going to be doing Leadville mid-August, possibly. Is that what you're doing? So I think there's a lot of benefits to having a coach. I didn't have a coach when I did my first 100, mainly because of expenses. I couldn't afford it. So I always recommend Jason Koop's book. He has a wonderful book on ultra running and training. So you could check that out if a coach is not, you know, an option for you. If that is something that you're serious about, though, yes, coaches give you guidance. It's someone that you can go back and forth with as far as, you know, your goals, how your training is going. They can look at you from the outside and tweak things for you and just really give you the confidence in your build up to race day. Now, I will also say, though, that there's enough resources and information out there. I mean, it's amazing how much information is out there that will help you create your own training plan and your own pathway. So I think the idea of being connected with a community, connecting with people who've done a 100 mile before in a variety of ways. You know, you don't want to just talk to one person who's done a 100 because everyone's experience is different. And then also depending on where your race is. So is it an altitude race? Is it a hot race? Is it, have a lot of climbing or is there not a lot of climbing? Is it a faster course? Is it, so all those, factors you want to have discussions or do some research in. The cool thing is too, that a lot of races now, I mean, you can find videos and films and you can find blog posts and race reports about these races, which is great feedback too. And that's what I did in the beginning is I would just do as much research as possible, try to learn about the race, the course, different ways to train. And I would gather just a variety. I think having knowledge as you go into the race is key. But at the end of the day, it's going to be your race and your body and your experience. And you're going to learn a lot about yourself along the way. And the cool thing is once you cross that finish line, which you will, you know, you get to keep on trying and trying and trying. So yeah, that's my two cents. If you have an opportunity, get a coach. Super awesome, very valuable. But you don't have to have a coach in order to do these races.
All right. Coming back to the advice tips that mommy has given you guys. Thought about it? Think about maybe racing, like a tip that she's given you.
Yeah, I would just say like having a strong mindset is super important, especially in running. Like I would say like running is like very mental. So like having like a strong positive mindset, like going into it is like, yeah, really important.
Isaiah, what about you?
I'm having a game, like you're only going to play that game once. Like you're like that game is only going to happen once your entire life. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you're scared about like getting hurt or like scared about like something in the race or the sport, like you're gonna be fine like in a few days. Like you're gonna laugh and forget about that game or that race. So like if you're just going 100%, you're gonna be proud of yourself and you're gonna like in lacrosse, like if I get scared of hitting, I remember like so what, I'm just gonna get hit and it's gonna hurt for a second and then I just get back up and keep on going. Like, and like if like I wanna go my 100% so we win, so I feel good that we win. You know,
yep.
Just go 100%.
I love that.
Yep.
Effort and strong mindset. Well, there are some, a 9 and 6 year old girls are watching right now. Marissa Mowinkle. I apologize if I'm not saying that right. Marissa Mowinkle says, I'm here watching with my 9 and 6 year old girls. Hi, girls. And they want to know, Isaiah McKenzie, if you guys ever play pranks on your mom and dad.
Oh, pranks.
Dude, I love like scaring, like I'll like I will literally hide like behind a door or like in something for like 20 minutes waiting for them to like come out.
Yes, this is so true. You have done this several times, like a long time, or it'll be like hot under like blankets, yeah, or something.
I like, so during like Halloween time, like 2 years ago, I found like a skeleton decoration for the front yard. And then so I like after Halloween, it was in our garage and I took that and I like put it like I put it next to my door with the lights off and I was like, hey mom, go look at my room. And then so like when she would open the door, it would fall and she would like be right, the skeleton would be right at her face. She got so mad.
I don't like being frightened, and Isaiah does it to me a lot. Yeah, right, so Isaiah is our prankster for sure.
All right. Jesse asked, what is your favorite breakfast cereal? Defend your answer.
I like Raisin Bran, because that's like one of the only ones my mom will let me get. She won't let me get like Lucky Charms.
This is true. No sugary cereal. Although during holidays,
yeah,
and when we go on vacation,
I don't know. Probably like Lucky Charms if like I'm allowed to get it. But if not, probably Raisin Bran's good.
I like the strawberry K. one. Ooh. I don't know what that's called.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Special K.
Yeah, Special K. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also plain Cheerios.
Okay, why? Defend that. Why is that like the best?
Because it's like so good. Oh, wow.
So good.
Oh. Christy wants to know about the app. So does Lauren wants to know about the app too. Oh, no, sorry. That's Pikes Peak's Ascent. Or Dusty wanted to know about the app. The app, yes, it is for all levels. Everything I put in there is, especially the plans, the 4-week, 6-week plan, the 50K plan, is beginner, intermediate, and advanced. So everything can be progressed or modified. And I give instructions for each of them. I'm pretty thorough in my descriptions in there. The biggest thing that I lean into in that app is people who are training and they're short on time and need to do strength. People who want to focus just on strength, but don't have a lot of equipment or don't have access to a gym. I basically help people include strength training into their everyday lives without making it feel like it's this extra laborious thing that they have to do. But yeah, it is. It's definitely for all levels. What's so funny, you guys? No,
What? I just look at Rue McKenzie.
All right. You want to do one more question for the kids and then they can go and do their thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to keep the kiddos here too long. So, let's go ahead and ask one more question for the kiddos. And then they will be on their way out because we got some,
See one, Isaiah?
Girl mama.
Okay.
Kids, have you ever had a coach that wasn't positive or supportive? Uh-oh. If so, parents, how did you help them through that?
We don't need to. We don't need to say. For the most part, I feel like you guys have always had supportive coaches.
Yeah,
there have been like incidents within. I mean, you guys have been athletes since you were little.
Yeah,
you guys have had like moments where a coach.
I've had coaches where it's just like. Like, I feel like they always tweak, like, everything I'm doing. And I'm just like, sometimes it's just like, dude, like, leave me alone. I just want to do my thing. Or, like, or not like that. Like, not in, like, a mean way. Not in a mean way. Like, no, coaches when I was, like, younger. Or, like.
Oh.
I got this, coach.
Leave me alone. I know I got this.
Not like that, but just, like, coaches that I like coaches that, like, encourage you in, like, a positive way. Like, hey, it's okay. We'll work on that rather than just, like. What are you doing? Like, you know not to, like, next time, blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah, put you down.
Yeah, put you down. Like, then you get, like, this courage. Like, dude, this is stupid. I don't want to do this. I'm not, you know, like, and being hard on yourself rather than just, like, yeah, I'll work on that. Like, I have to do that better next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you want to add, Ken?
I mean, sometimes I'm a mama bear.
Yeah. All the time.
Mackenzie, anything you want to add?
No, yeah. I mean, I think all my coaches have been like very supportive and
yeah,
I haven't really had like,
cause a lot of people ask if I coach you. And so I always say Mackenzie will always have a lot of running coaches, but she'll only have one mom. Yeah,
exactly.
Sylvia.
But sometimes I have my opinions that I keep to myself.
Sylvia asked Isaiah, what is your favorite sport? Right now, I'm only lacrosse. I started December, and I think it's, like, so much fun. I'm going to do it, like, throughout high school. But I'd say probably my favorite sport was probably FNL, like, Friday Night Lights, like, flag football. It was, like, the best there because, like, just, like, every Friday, like, a big team with your friends, and, like, it doesn't matter if you win or lose, but we'd probably, yeah, I don't know. But, and then after you just, like, hang out and watch other games, it was just, like, I take that for granted that I didn't, like, I don't know. I just like wish I could go back. It was such a vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun to watch too.
Kids, Isaiah McKenzie, is there anything that you want to say to our youth that's watching? We actually have a lot of kids in that will listen to our podcast. You know, for the first few minutes, they're on their way to practice or to school, and sometimes they'll listen in the car with their parents. Some of them are tuning in right now. I thought maybe you guys could give them a word in encouragement, whether it's in sport or in life, especially for the kids that are maybe having a hard time at school? Is there any like encouragement you want to give to the kids watching?
For sports, if you are doing a sport that you really love, I'd say don't take that for granted. Like, don't let just like, you got to take it seriously because it'll help you out in the long run. Cause there's kids that like, have been playing since they were younger at a sport, and if they like work hard, then they're going to like, they won't regret that when they're older and they're like the best on the team. Doing all, like, and so I wish like I wish I did lacrosse earlier and I like worked hard at it, so I'd be like way better than I am now, because I feel like that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, you just gotta work hard on what you're doing right now, so it'll pay off in the long run. Mm-hmm. And same with school. My biggest enemy is procrastination. I just feel like, oh, I'll just do it later, but like then it just catches up to you and you're like, oh shoot, I have to do this too, and then it like kind of hammers down on you and you're like, man, why didn't I do that earlier? Like now, like I have a lower grade in the class than I did if I just did my homework earlier. Mm-hmm. But it's also, cherish your moments in school when you're younger, because I miss having in elementary school, having just one big class with all my friends, or middle school, just like messing around. Like, but high school is like, you kind of just you have to lock in. Yeah. And like actually do your work. But yeah, yeah, you just study, do your homework, you're gonna get a good grade.
Yeah.
I would say for sports, like if you're like doing a sport that you like are really like really love and like you're really into it, but like say you're not having like the best like season or like great like games or like races, just kind of like continue to like work hard and like don't let that like define like you or like your like your skills, because if you just continue to like stay consistent and like work hard, like it will pay off eventually. So yeah.
Nice.
That's awesome. Consistency and hard work. I love it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, Isaiah and Mackenzie, thank you so much.
Yes.
For being on the show.
Of course.
For taking time out. We know that, you know, teenagers have things to do and they have friends to connect with and homework to do and sports to prep for. So we love you both and we appreciate you. You know that your parents are so proud of both you guys. We love you guys.
Now go make us dinner.
Now go make us dinner and scrub the floors.
Peace out, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, guys.
Thanks, bud.
Oh, one more.
All right. We got about 15 minutes left in our live show. Oh, yeah.
One more special guest.
Oh, that's so cute. Isaiah, keep him there. For the kiddos watching, this is Bear. He's 2.5 years old. He's 8 pounds. He's part of the Maltese family. And he is the most cuddly dog ever. And he loves just to sit on his hind legs always. So sweet. So that's Bear. Super cute. Thanks, Isaiah. That was adorable. Thank All you right. so much, kiddos, for joining in on that. We love that you're here. And everyone else, everyone else that is in the chat room who has sent in some questions, I'm going to dive into them really quick. So Jay Mislin asks, how do you come back from sickness with an upcoming race? Do you race? Do the race? Bag it? 2 weeks 5K and 1 month out, 10K trail. I always like just to preface these kinds of questions with, it really does come down to it's very personal. It's very personal, especially when people say they have an ache or a pain or an injury or they're ill. I can't feel what you feel. And I know I have personally chosen to go to a race start when I wasn't feeling 100%. But I also think there's like different degrees of that too. So if you're, you know, in the bathroom every 5 minutes, like, yeah, you know, I know for me, that's really hard to come to a start line, thinking that I'm going to get to a finish line if my body's saying, hey, you need to be laying flat in bed. So I think it's something that you really do have to weigh out for yourself. The second thing is, and I know this is something that you had to kind of consider, Eddie, is, the importance of the goal to you. So I think for people who race regularly, let's say like every year you choose a couple races, usually there's one that means the most to you. So are these training races? Is this a race you've been looking forward to for a very long time? Would it break your heart if you missed it? And if once you can kind of consider those things, then you look at what your goals are. Can I tweak my goals and still get to the finish line? So maybe the goal was to do the 10K in an hour and 15 minutes. And now you're realizing like, okay, I can maybe walk, jog it. So is getting to the finish line still important to you? Will you be proud of that? So what's going to make you proud? What's going to make you happy? And if it is, hey, I really wanted to go for a PR, like that's what I was training for, then I, as a coach, I'd be like, all right, let's get healthy and like, let's choose another 10K. So you first got to consider the importance of the finish line, what your goals are, and would you still be content if you modified those? Eddie, anything you want to add to that? I feel like I just kind of spoke on the whole process that you went through.
I think we've addressed that, I think, before, but yeah, I think that's good. Here's one that I think this one comes up quite a bit where people are either in your app or they don't have the app, but they're, you know, setting out to run an ultra for the first time. And they're curious because maybe they've raced or ran a half marathon and they've gone through a program where it says, all right, run 6 miles, run 8 miles, and then run 10 miles, run six, whatever. It's just mileage. So if you're running, training for an ultra, is it more important to run hours or actual miles?
Oh man, that's a great question. I think, I think it's hours. If you are going to like lean into one thing, because the reality is when you step into the ultra world, it is different from training for a 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon on the road. And I really think that it's a lot easier to dial in mileage and pace per mile on the road, because you can pretty much race a road race anywhere in the world and still kind of be like, okay, I'm going to finish within like this time. Like if you're fit and ready at the start line, you can kind of figure out what you're going to run that in. I mean, that's why they have pace groups, right? You're like, yes, I can do a 4:15 marathon today. Like I feel ready. I'm trained, you know, and maybe you'll finish in 4:10 or maybe you'll go a 4:05 or a 4:21. It's a lot more difficult to do that in trail and ultra, namely because there's so many different variables that you have to deal with. And so one of the things that I like to do with athletes is, especially if they're brand new, so if they're a brand new runner in the sport, I say, don't worry about pace. We're not going to worry about how many miles. I just want you to really focus on time on your feet, because doing anything for 4 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours, think about this, 21, 30 hours. When was the last time that you did something for that many hours straight? And so when you become used to like these long hours on your feet, you also start to notice all these other things come out that you have to deal with. Like, wow, I have to eat continuously. I have to pay attention to my hydration. My gear is bugging me. Okay, I need different gear. I need to get used to carrying a heavy pack for 5-6 hours. Like, that's a real thing. Okay, I need strength training because this hurts my back or this hurts my shoulder. I mean, there's so many variables that go into ultra, and having the very basic focus of, okay, I'm going out for 5 hours on the trails. Like that in and of itself is intense. Now, if you have been running on the road for, you know, you would call yourself like a seasoned runner. It has nothing to do with how fast you go, but you're used to running on the road. You have years of running under your belt. You like mileage. There's nothing wrong with that at all. There's nothing wrong with saying, all right, I'm going to go out for an 8 mile run on the trails. But what I like to encourage people is make sure you take note of what is going on the trails. So are you doing 8 miles with 2000 feet of climbing? Or are you doing 8 miles on a fire road that has 200 feet of climbing? Those two runs are going to take an entirely different amount of time. So the 8 miles with 2000 feet of climbing could take you 3 hours. 8 miles with a couple hundred feet of climbing could take you an hour. And so that is why many times coaches will have runners go based on time instead of mileage. So they just understand the sport's different in climbing and altitude, river crossings, heat, technical terrain, smooth terrain. Those all play into how long it takes you to cover the distance. So if anything, what you can do is spend the first 3 months just going on time and then move into mileage. Okay, I've spent 3 months, like my long runs are always like 4 hours, all right? And pretty much it's taken me this long to do, 8 miles. And so you can kind of like see how time and mileage starts to transfer over. And you're really just doing fact finding on yourself. But I think you'll find more enjoyment, less stress by just focusing on time first and then moving into mileage later on in your training. I'll tell you what, I work with a coach right now, Jason Koop. The majority, actually the past 2 months that he's been, almost 3 months now that he's been training me, everything that we do is time-based. So today was a 4-hour run. And, we just got back from the Western States course and it was, we were covering point to point on the Western States course. We covered 80 miles in 3 days. But typically, like I don't do that a lot in my training. It isn't a lot of like, okay, today we're doing 33 miles. You know, tomorrow we're doing 23 miles. It usually is like you're running for 4 hours. You're running for 5 hours. You're running. And then when we do workouts, it kind of changes. So,
yeah. All right. So 3 months time. And mm-hmm. then after that, you can move into mileage. Mm-hmm. Another question that might tie into this mm-hmm. Is when or if or how do you incorporate speed work for mm-hmm. an ultra?
Yeah. You know, speed work is probably one of the most confusing and sometimes miscommunicated parts of ultra running. I think people who are on the outside of the sport really don't like get it. We'll just be like, oh gosh, everyone just hikes in that sport. And it's like, well, not necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of races that you can, that you absolutely can hike, jog, which I love that because the races are so beautiful. You cover such massive distances. You see beautiful things. You meet up with friends. I mean, you can meet so many great friends in a race or in training. So there's nothing wrong with like the hike, jog, or mostly hiking in sport. When I think about speed work, you have to understand that one, speed is relative for everyone. So if you normally jog at an 11 minute pace, you know, fast is like 9 minutes. But here's the thing, what you're focusing on there, changing pace is so great for your mechanics. Changing pace is great for just your total fitness level. You know, working hard for like 2 minutes and then recovering, working hard. I mean, think of it as like HIIT or interval training. That does a lot for just your heart, your metabolism, picking up pace. That's good for your mechanics. Like you need that. So I think it's important to not think of speed work as you have to be running a 5 minute pace in order for it to be speed work. It is about changing pace and you need to do that in your training. You need to get that feeling of quicker leg turnover because what can easily happen is you settle into just this same pace all the time. And mentally that can kind of get to you. So even this idea that we talked about earlier, that whole pass gap and bury, up until that point, like I was struggling with getting out of the pace because it was just pain. And I was like, okay, Summer, we're going to run hard for 30 seconds and then we're going to walk and we're going to run hard for 30 seconds and we're going to walk. And it's like amazing what that does for your body. Like it just kind of like wakes you back up. But it feels good to run fast. I know, Eddie, that was probably the one area when you were training for the marathon that I had to hold you back on because he won't admit it, but Eddie is very fast. He was always the fastest on his soccer team, but he would do strides. He was doing like 5-6 minute pace strides when you weren't supposed to, which is why you hurt your Achilles right before. He's super fast, but for him, he was frustrated running the same pace all the time. And he just needed to kind of like click himself out of that. So he loved strides. Like I would give him like 30 to 60 second strides. And it was just mechanically getting that quick leg turnover. So if you want to be competitive, if you want to set a PR, like all of that, that absolutely needs to be a part of your training. But I think for a balanced training, remember speed work, it takes on so many different forms. And as an ultra coach, I love to do the fartlek, and fartlek is Swedish for speed play. And so look into that. Again, Jason Koop's book is incredible. I highly recommend it. But you know, you could be running on a trail. Let's say you go out for a 6 mile run and then you're like, all right, I'm going to run up this hill hard for 30 seconds. Awesome. Do that like 8 more times during your whole 6 miles. Do that 8 times. And what does that come out to? That's 4 minutes of fast running. But I'll tell you what, you will feel so good. And you'll get a little bit more confidence on race day, knowing that you know how to pick up the pace. You know how to change pace. I think that's so important, whether you're back of pack, middle of pack, or in the front, speed should be a part of your training. And again, this kind of goes back to, I know there's this whole science on like HIIT training. That kind of plays into that too. Changing pace, making your heart work hard, and then come back out of that. So great question.
Yeah. That is good. That's a popular one that comes up. Those, actually, both of those. All right. So what do you think? You want to wrap this up?
I do, but I have a couple, just a couple more questions that are coming in. And Mitch, especially, here we go. Eddie, when are you running a 50K?
Oh, when am I running a 50K? It's, you know what? It's not on the calendar yet, Mitch. You know, it's just,
do you have any interest? I mean, I've been very disciplined to not, I've been good. Yeah, I have not pressed have any races. I haven't brought it up. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Publicly we can say this.
Mm-hmm.
We've been together forever. So I know when to keep my mouth shut in this area and when to press him. But, I haven't brought up, hey, when's your next race or what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But do you have any interest in doing a
50K?
A 50K.
At like
on today. On the trail. I'm not talking like, hey, let's go run tracks on the lap, on tracks on lap, laps on a track. But
no, like on the trail. I mean, do I, like, if you ask me right now today if I have any interest in it, a 50K? No, I don't. But I'm not going to say I won't ever attempt one because I said I would never attempt a marathon.
That's true. So, he did. It was never, ever in your vocabulary.
No.
It was a joke.
Yeah. So, but, and then now that I have run a marathon, the pounding for that long on cement was hard. And so you saying, you know, that it's a lot softer on trail is interesting. And, you know, but I know I do not have any desire.
There's
really
a second part of Mitch's questions here. He says,
what else is
just
Mitch
kidding,
say?
But seriously, how has successfully training for and running your first marathon changed your perspective on your own fitness, and has it inspired any new goals? Now, the last podcast, if you haven't listened to yet, you will hear how Eddie sets goals for himself every single week.
Yeah.
He is a goal setter, but I don't know if you want to comment
on
that.
Yeah, I already mentioned this, Mitch, on the last time we talked about it in the podcast, but I said I had a new goal for the week. It was to run 3 miles every day and to lift weights. And I did not succeed at that goal because today is the sixth day. And I ran two of those days and I did stair. I think the stairs one time. So 3 out of 6, but I did lift weights. But I didn't meet my 3 mile goal. And part of it was, here's my excuse, where my hip wasn't quite 100% still. Yeah. I've given it 3 weeks and it still was not 100%. So that is my excuse and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
So yes, there you have it, Eddie. Mitch.
No.
Austin Ray is in the chat. He said, Eddie said he's doing Avalon next year. Oh, man.
Well, Heather's saying trails are way better. Now, trails, it isn't so much the softness of the trails. It's actually the variability in the position of your body.
Yeah, the varied terrain, right?
The like varied terrain, you have uphill, to change. Downhill. You're going lateral. You have different body position. And so you are giving yourself a break from pounding in the same position. That's actually what hurts is that. So, you know, I've done 50-mile races, 100-mile races. I still think running a road marathon is more painful because you don't get a break. You're just in that same position, pounding everything in the same way. Mm-hmm. That can be really painful. So, Duvolt has asked this a couple times, and I'm so sorry. I saw it right in the beginning, but Sally, would you ever do an ultra in the Southern Hemisphere, i.e. Australia or New Zealand? I have done Tarawera a few times. I've done the Tarawera 100K. It wasn't my best race. I did go into that pretty sick, but was amazing, amazing community there in Rotorua. Loved it. I did return and run the Tarawera 100 miler. I won that. And then of course the year that I won it, there was like a full blown like hurricane. So I went to New Zealand to run a very fast 100. And I think I was in mud up to my knees about half of it, but amazing experience. I have a lot of friends in New Zealand. I absolutely love the running community there and especially the Tarawera event, like one of the best in the world. I went another year and just did media. So three times I've been to New Zealand for that. And then I also went to New Zealand to do a running event, a speaking event. And in fact, Billy Yang and I both were invited to speak. And so I'll tell you what, New Zealand is one of my favorite places in the world. I had the gift of going and racing in the Blue Mountains in Australia. I believe it was 2017. For the 100K, and again had kind of a rough race there. I had a family member pass away right before I got on the plane, and so I ended up walking in, I think, the last 15 miles of that race. I shouldn't have gone, I think, and I always told myself I need to go back. So I do need to go back and do Australia right, because I've only been able to go one time, but it was incredible again. I think all Americans love Kiwis and Aussies. We just do. Those accents, we can't get enough of them. But amazing experience. And yes, I do hope to go back. But if I go back, I absolutely need to bring Eddie with me, because those are definitely places that he wants to go to too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't like really go wrong there. Yeah. It's so beautiful. So yeah, there you go.
There it is.
And well, there it is. One of the things that we want to say is thank you for enduring with us with our first live.
Yes, thank you.
We are getting feedback with ourselves and things that we can do better for our next one. So we definitely would like to do these more often, mainly because we like to interact with you guys. I think it's a weekly conversation that we're having now, Ed, just about how tight-knit this community is.
Yeah.
And we're getting physical mail every single week from you guys. We love that. We love seeing what's going on in the Facebook page. And we are meeting people every week. I went up and I trained on the Western States course. I met somebody in the Auburn, in the brewing company there, who came up to me, and it was so lovely. I met people on the trails. I met people in In-N-Out. I met people in the airport. And it just really blessed me, really, really blessed me. And so I know Eddie and I are always thinking of ways that we can connect better with you. And so we thought, you know, the live chat is awesome. You guys can ask questions and we can interact with you here. So yeah, we're going to dial this in. We're going to make it better with each passing time. And to answer, there's a few questions in there where people are asking about actual live events. That was something we talked about at the end of last year. That is something that's on our list and is in the works. There's a few things that we've been dreaming about and wanting to do. So stay tuned for that. But right now we're going to fine tune the live show here. So anything you want to add, Ed?
All I want to say is thank you guys for tuning in to this podcast. And I mean, now this is the reason why we're doing this tonight, to celebrate the milestone of, you know, you guys listening to us for a million times, which is crazy. So
yeah,
we just want to say thank you.
Yeah. I guess we never like kicked off with that.
Yeah.
We usually kick off with, you know, our usuals, in the podcast, but yeah, we can't believe now it's about to hit 1.3 million, but, we're so grateful. And this is just a wonderful way to celebrate. We appreciate you. We love you. You know that we're cheering for you all the time. Keep choosing strong in all that you do.